The Lord be with you. Let us pray. For this day of grace, we give you thanks, O God. Today we express gratitude for the responsibility of discernment. You give intellect, which remembers. You give reason, which provides balance. You give faith, which creates foundation. You give us the freedom to discern, which sets the course. We pray for those who were elected yesterday. Let intellect, reason, and faith help them discern and lead. Let the decisions that were endorsed provide justice for all. Let your miracle and your mandate of love be our mandate in governance and in action. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our chapel speaker today is Clint Schneckloff, who is a pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And welcome to St. Olaf. He's doing some lecturing here at the college and at Luther Seminary in the next few days.
A reading from Jonah, the first chapter. But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. The captain came and said to him, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps the God will spare us the thought so that we do not perish." And the sailors said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may know on whose account this calamity has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us why this calamity has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" "I am a Hebrew," he replied. "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were even more afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he told them so. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quieten down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great storm has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more stormy against them. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not make us guilty of innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Thank you for welcoming me to St. Olaf. It's been great to be here today. I was instructed by Professor Walter, who invited me to pick a text about a weird worship setting, a strange place for worship. And this is the one that flashed to mind immediately. I had no idea at the time that I picked it this summer and sent the text off to your campus pastor that indeed it would be read the week after a major storm on the East Coast and a hurricane, and now apparently a nor'easter coming in to kind of hit the coast as well. And so there's some ways in which this text is incredibly appropriate, scary, comforting in relation to the things that are happening right now. I also didn't know when I picked it that the Coptic Church would be in the process of picking their new pope, which they do by ballot and casting lots, similar to what happened with these mariners. So there's some interesting things happening in our life right now for which this text has a word. But what I wanted to draw our attention to today is something I find absolutely fascinating about this text, and that is that when Jonah got on this ship, having been commanded by the Lord to go somewhere else, he told the mariners when he got on the ship what he was doing. They knew that he was fleeing his God. But apparently, up until that point, it wasn't actually that worrisome to them because they each had their own God that they could call on. And so he just had one more in the mix, and who knows who actually has power over the sea to do whatever needs to be done if the sea and the storms come up. And so he gets on this ship, he goes with them out to sea, and when the storm comes, they all start crying out to their own gods. Now, this is what we have been doing with the storms that have been buffeting us these past few weeks, right? Everybody's been calling out to their own gods. And so you've got the community of people who think that for sure there's something wrong with this great nation, that God is sending this hurricane to just nail the people on the East Coast. And we need to listen and learn what God is saying through this storm. Interestingly, everybody who thinks this thinks it's communicating something about somebody else rather than themselves, right? It's somebody else's wrongdoing, the wrong president in at the wrong time, or the possibility of a different president in at the wrong time. And so we make use of these kinds of things, these hidden ways that God works through storms, typically to address the sins of other people. These mariners are at least wise enough to know that they ought to figure out who's really responsible for the storm coming up. So they start praying to their own gods. They're also practical, right? So in addition to praying to their gods, they lighten the load. They throw everything off the boat that they can. And then you enlist everybody. So that, where's Jonah? So they go looking for Jonah. Jonah apparently, like Jesus, is able to sleep through storms while on the open sea. And so here he is, asleep in the bottom of this boat. They wake him up. They ask him to call on his God. Here's where this starts to be a worship service. So they're all calling on their gods. Unbeknownst to them, they ask Jonah to call on the one true God. So they ask him to pray to his God. And this is what they think about this God at this point. Perhaps the God will spare us a thought so that we do not perish. That God's distracted, but if you get his attention, maybe he'll help us out. And then they do this other thing. We should do this in worship more. It's pretty effective. And more people would come to church if there was gambling, I think. Come, let us cast lots so that we may know on whose account this calamity has come upon us, right? So they cast lots, and the lots work. The lots pick the right guy, which is fascinating. We think democracy works, so we vote in our bishops. The Coptics think you can draw something out of a hat and get the right person. I think they have something there. And then they go interview him. They've got this set of interview questions about Jonah that they hadn't asked before. And he's got an answer. And his answer is the invocation for worship. I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. So here's the strategy so far, in case you've missed it. When God calls you, run. Then when God sends a storm, wait until everybody blames you And then when they finally ask you who your God is, tell them the truth. Then the men were even more afraid, and they asked, what have you done to us? And they finally have this question. It's very practical. What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? Now, here's the tricky part, if you would like to be evangelical and lead people in proper worship. When they ask you what you should do to quell God's wrath towards them, you answer, throw me into the sea. I know very few clergy who are willing to do this. When the congregation gets rough and there's a lot of turmoil, we were like, I'm staying. I'm like, you can go. You can go, but I need my salary and my pension and whatever. So I very rarely heard a pastor say, rather than have this storm continue to just buffet us as a congregation, throw me out. Just kick me over the side. I actually don't know any leaders in hardly any context who are willing to do this. And when they do, it's somewhat amazing. So Jonah does this. But then, and here's where the worship gets really interesting, the ones who had just asked for a way out of the storm don't want to do that. They have an internal ethic to not lose anybody who's on their ship. So the worshipers of foreign gods, not Hebrews, not worshipers of the one true God, try to save Jonah. They row like mad to try to find some kind of shore, and they can't find it. When they can't find it, and their desperation reaches fever pitch, they pray, forgive us, Lord, for doing this. And then they toss him over at his instruction. And that is church. That is worship, if you'll accept it. Maybe not the worship that we have here, because you're on a hill, and it's not going to flood, and you're rather safe, and you spend a lot of money to be here, a lot of money, I understand, to be here, so you have got a lot of cargo. But church is down there, in that storm, on that ship, and you have run away from God. And God is slamming you with this storm. And you need strangers to ask you who you are so you can remember who you are. And then, don't get all wimpy. We were talking in a seminar about this thing because we're worried that if we confess our faith before others that we might domesticate them somehow. They're asking you who you are. So give them a good answer. I'm a Hebrew. I worship the one true God, the Lord of heaven and earth. It's rather unfair, actually, to strangers, if they ask you who you are and who you worship, to be like, oh, my God's a lot like yours, and, you know, we all kind of probably worship the same God in the end. If they're drilling you for the truth, give it to them. Own it. Jonah does. Amen.
For all in peril, we pray that God will bring calm through word and through God's people. Go in peace, serve the Lord.